You're very welcome to the Six Nations Takeaway on Balls.ie in association with Carry Out Off License. I'm Mick McCarthy, alongside once again, delighted to be here with Brent Pope. Brent, how are you?
Yes, going? We're waiting on Joe again because he's let us down. We went on half an hour later. Specifically, I said to Joe, announce the team half an hour early so we can go with the show. But yeah. Now he's let us down again. We're waiting at 1:30 for it, so it's going to come through in a couple of minutes. But
God, Joe went how many years without ever letting us down, and then
twice in a week. You know, name the team. It's 1:30, 1:30, it's 12:30, it's 12:30. And he's somebody about punctuality too. He's always his players on time. So Joe, next time, will you please cater to us and announce the team a couple of minutes early? But anyway, look, it doesn't stop the discussion because I think it's quite good that we get the team fed into us because we can go with what the rumours are. And I suppose the rumours are that there's enforced changes.
Yeah, a lot of injuries, yeah.
Does the big talking point, I suppose, is does Rob Carney come back at fullback? I say yes. I know Ron O'Gara and these other ones are saying, you know, you make a decision with Henshaw, you stick with it. Mm. But I think Henshaw is out, so I think Rob Carney definitely gets back. All the other talk, of course, is, you know, Simon Zeebo.
He won't be in this team.
I don't think so. Yeah. But do you break protocol in a World Cup year? Because it's not set in stone. It's just that obviously, you know, Donna Karan and these guys, obviously there's a situation that proved convenient for Johnny Sexton when he had that sabbatical like some of the All Blacks did.
Yeah.
Do you, if there was to be a couple of injuries at fullback or whatever like that, and suddenly you become, you know, I suppose less strength and depth, do you select a guy like Simon Zeebo? I say again, in a World Cup, yes you do. Ideally, you go in with your best team, you know. Yeah. And if he's deemed to be the best player, then you select him.
But yeah.
His relationship with Joe over the years has been that he probably wouldn't automatically walk in, even if he was in this country.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I mean, he was in the team on the wing before he went, but it took a long time for him to get fully established into Joe Schmidt's team.
Yeah.
Just going back to Saturday then briefly, I think we were all kind of like smacked in the face a little bit like the Irish players, because England just came at 100 miles an hour and we just didn't have an answer. And there's lots of different, you can pinpoint individual moments in a game, be it a dodgy forward pass or whatever, but we were the second best team.
We're clinging to excuses, and I had that discussion with a number of people. I went to the match myself, and a number of people afterwards saying, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda. No. You know, Ireland were beaten up. And the last time I saw that happen was Argentina in the World Cup, where they were just...
Yeah.
You saw some of the hits that the English were putting in, you know, early doors, you know, Tuilagi, Bunapolas and that. Ireland were just being thrown around like rag dolls, you know. And once they got off to the... They did get off to the perfect start, and then they targeted the Irish back three without a doubt, you know. Mm. I thought Keith Earl should have been actually pulled from the field sooner than half time. He was right where he got sustained both of his injuries right down in front of me, and you could see that he was in pain.
Yeah,
he's brave, we know that, but I mean, he wasn't in a position to offer himself.
Yeah,
and in a professional game, when you're not in that position, you're more or less playing with 14 men.
Yeah,
and that's the other thing, people forget that, you know, England went down to 14 men for 10 minutes at that stage. I did see a glimmer of hope, I think, after half time, like everybody, because I think England's kick chase was less dynamic, and I thought, you know, they're starting to tire a bit, you know, the Unipolas and that were starting to dip their heads a bit, and I thought that's when Ireland really need to speed the game up and try to find space and that, and they didn't. I think the fact was they had a plan A, and when plan A didn't work, plan B wasn't really, you know, looked upon as, look, let's speed them up, let's vary the game, let's do something different. They just played into England's hands.
Yeah, and like, you know, England's line speed was obviously incredible and didn't give Ireland much time to do stuff, but there has to be a counter to that as well. And, you know, I was talking to someone during the week, is there something to be said for Ireland have often started tournaments slowly enough under Joe? Is there a kind of a, right, well, here's what they're coming at us with this season, come up with a plan to adjust, but you can't do that at the start?
No, well, it's a good point. It's a very difficult thing to do. And Peter O'Mahony was right this week when he said we're not about to change the game plan just because we've had one loss.
Yeah.
You know, if they were to have two or three losses, then you've got to look and say, okay, there's something wrong with the game plan. But the game plan, by the way, has been good enough to beat all the best teams in the world over the last 18 months. So you don't change that. But what you do have to change is an ability on the field, not necessarily in the stands, an ability to change games at some stage And I don't think, for a start, I don't think Rory Best is that kind of captain. I think he's a great motivator, and he's a great player to have around the team, and that he's a bit older, he's experienced. But what you probably needed was a captain in the kind of Richie McCaw mode, or even in the Johnson mode, that pulled the players together, say 20 minutes from the end, and said, hey, we've got to change the way that we're going here. Whatever that is, whether we've got to go to the air more, whether we've got to find more space, whether we've got to risk going wide, whether we're going to get away from the collision areas, whether we've got to do something. But just playing the same way was never going to get Ireland back into that match.
Can I just go back to changing the game plan, though? Because without going into like the specifics about all of what the game plan is and what it can be, surely if Ireland were the best team in the world in 2018... then coming into 2019, everybody is going to have a lot of tape. They're going to see a lot of what they do. And a coach's job is to say, not underestimate other coaches like Eddie Jones and say, they're going to know what to do to counter this. We have to just, maybe not change, but tweak. Yep. We have to tweak.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And they didn't.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you know, every man on the street knew what England were bringing.
Yeah.
You know.
We talked about it last week.
Well, we talked about it last week. When they came out with the selection and had the gall to call Ireland boring, and they come out with a selection with included all their power players. And remember, they left a couple back through injury. It could have been Teo and Tuilagi. It could have been the Fijian winger, who I can't pronounce his name, that they brought in as well. Yeah. They were talking about three players, and the combined weight was about 340 kgs in the back line. So, yes, they brought a power game. I just think with the smack in the face, as you said, or with a shock for most of us at the match was, just how physical they were and how that hunger and that physicality that Ireland usually imposed on other teams, including England last year, it just was missing. So it was just... I'm not saying Ireland were overconfident, but did they slip into that... Did they slip into that sort of, you know, strutting their stuff a bit and saying, OK, yeah, you know, as long as we bring our usual game plan, that will be good enough again? And it didn't prove to be, did it? I mean, once they couldn't match the physicality, they didn't really know what to do.
Yeah. We've got some comments in. You can get in touch with us on Facebook and Twitter.
Please
just
do.
Under this post and ask Brent what you want to know. Alan O'Hara has done that. He says, Mick, can you ask Brent why Schmidt was so slow to bring Cronin off the bench? We needed some spark in the second half when the game was drifting away from
absolutely.
The only man who spotted that the high line meant there was a room absolutely. In the middle of the ruck.
And absolutely.
It led to a try,
and the same could have been said about Joey Carberry, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, Carberry is a game breaker. He's a game changer. And that's what I was talking about. You need... That needed to happen earlier, because I think once England got the cushion of two scores, you had to go chasing the game. And the only way that I could see was chasing the game was bring on your dynamic players. Because, yes, you may end up losing by more, which is what happened anyway, but you put yourself in a situation where you could get back into the game. And I keep going back to the same. No, Ireland continued to... You know, there's always a psychological... Coaches or most players play in blocks of time. And, that, you know, when you're playing a match, you start looking at the clock and you start saying, OK, score the first 5 minutes before... The last five minutes before half-time is a big psychological boost. Conversely, score straight after half-time, another big psychological boost. And then when the clock sticks to about 70 minutes... You usually think you've got the game won. You usually think if you've got enough points up, if you've got maybe 8 points, you've got it won. Because the other team has to chase the game. Mm. But Ireland didn't. I didn't effectively think that Ireland chased the game. Or if they did, it makes a good... Mick, was it? Makes a good point. That,
Alan,
you know, Alan.
Yeah.
You know, bring on these guys that can change the game. He's far more dynamic than Rory Best.
Yeah, know? Absolutely. And we needed kind of players to break the gain line, which just wasn't happening as well. With CJ Sander having a broken cheekbone probably didn't help in that. But,
no, it didn't. I felt a bit guilty for criticising CJ after the match because I didn't think he had one of his games. And I think when you need to give the gain line, but, you know, probably quite hard to get over the gain line if you can't see where the gain line is.
Tom Sharpson, can you ask Popey if he thought Itoje and the England players were targeting Earls? Looked that way to me in the stadium.
I think they were targeting the chase. I think that he was quite fortunate not to be yellow carded, because when you see the highlights, he does definitely seem to lead with the knee. Mm. And I mean, poor old Keith Earls, you know, wasn't having the best run of... I don't think they would have deliberately thing. I think that deliberate in a sense that they probably would have seen Keith Earls as maybe quite a diminutive player, which he is. Mm. Brave that he is, but I mean, in the modern game, at his height or whatever and his weight, he's small. So I think, yes, they probably were putting a couple of high balls in there. Johnny May, who's, what, 6'3 or whatever, Tojo, whatever, 6'6", 6'7". So they probably thought they could win the ball in the air against Keith Earls rather than win the ball in the air against Jacob Stockdale.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah. It's funny, Morris in the office made a good point as well, that as well as hoping to possibly target him in the air, that Earls is Ireland's best kick chaser.
Yeah.
And so if the ball's down his neck, even if everything goes to plan, he's not chasing the next kick.
Well done, Morris.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
But, good point. No, you're right, because they definitely targeted on his back three. And the other thing that we saw, we haven't seen Jacob Stockdale have to turn much in the last year or so.
Yeah.
Yes, he got had a fantastic season last championship, obviously, record scoring and the intercepts. But this was the first time, really, he had to scamper back on a number of occasions. And it proved to be England's kicking game was far superior than Ireland's kicking game.
Yeah.
So they really targeted the back three and they got away with it.
They did. Yeah. And actually, there's a question about Henshaw here that I'll just get to because it's while we're talking about it. Brent, it's never for Ireland... It's never for Ireland in a World Cup year, is it? I don't know what that means. But will we ever see Henshaw at 15 in an Ireland shirt again from Sean Strickland? Never straightforward, I'm being told that was...
Never straightforward. No, it's never straightforward. And we'll get into it a bit later when the team comes back. I don't think it's a bad thing. I'm going against some of the pundits because I think being out in New Zealand, I go back to it last week, you know, they were saying, let Ireland have the mantle of favouritism and see how it sits with them. Well, it sat 1 week or one start of a new season and they bottled it. So I think going into a World Cup, I wouldn't want to see another loss. And I think this is why this game against Scotland, we'll talk about it, becomes vital, because two or three losses and then you've got France and Wales waiting, Wales potentially going for a Grand Slam when they meet Ireland in the last game. Suddenly if Ireland went in losing three games, which they could,
negative.
Suddenly went in, yes, then it's hard to arrest that slide because then it becomes psychological. So one loss, great, you learn from it. Was always added on. I want to keep going back to New Zealand culture, but at the end of the day, that's where I grew up with. But you're always told then, you know, New Zealand rugby, lose one match, yes, but never lose two in a row. Never lose two in a row. So that's why this game becomes important, because two in a row then becomes, we're in a bit of a slide psychologically and it's harder to get out. One you can put by and say, okay, look, we're still in the championship, get a bonus point win against these, see how the season unfolds, go into the World Cup as still a good team, but not the team that everybody is going out to beat. But no, because it's interesting also to look at England. England have gone from sort of zero to hero overnight. Now people are already in the press saying this is the English team, could be the greatest team, and they could win the World Cup now. And I thought, hey.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about that, because they definitely had a very specific Ireland game plan, and also they were incredibly up for it. Like they just went for 80. I don't think you can do that for 2 months in the tournament, you know. How good do you think they were?
They were very good. They were very good. I was surprised how good they were, and I'd have to take my hat off to the English supporters. I mean, even the Irish supporters did say, look, they were well beaten. You know, it wasn't a case of... Having said all that, they did get the rub of the green a couple of occasions, a couple of their tries could have been brought back on occasions, you know, forward pass, maybe in front of the kicker, Slade. Slade fortunate to get that intercept and get, so you can take that away. Having said that, that's no excuse. They were beaten up front. I think most teams in the world would have struggled against England, including New Zealand and South Africa and Australia, obviously. They would have struggled against that performance from England. And I think if that was a performance at the World Cup, it was a World Cup winning performance, if you know what I mean. But I also take your point that play that power game week in, week out. They've already lost to Tojo for a while. Players will get, it's a traditional game plan, and teams will have worked out now already, the same way South Africa probably sitting there and saying, hey, we have a pretty good idea how we're going to play Ireland now at the quarterfinal. The same way as New Zealand, Australia and saying, okay, right, we've got to find a way around England's power now, and it gives them a couple of months to do that. So.
Yeah.
England have delivered how they're going to play at the World Cup, so they ain't going to change.
Yeah, for sure. What that attritional game did do, though, was leave Ireland fairly bandage-ridden this week. So we know Stander is out for a few weeks. We've lost Devon Toner in a time when you couldn't really afford to lose second rows with Henderson and Byrne already out. And, you know, there's other injuries. We learned today that Henshaw is gone. We've lost Gary Ringrose, who was probably the standout player for Ireland.
Yep.
There's a lot of... We talked last week, what are you going to do? You have to use your squad a little bit during this Six Nations.
It's kind of
enforced now, really.
It's enforced,
isn't it?
And that's a good thing, because we've all raved about Ireland's perceived strength and depth. Well, you know, talk the talk, walk the walk, because now it's a case of you're having to dip into reserves, like what will happen in a World Cup year. And I keep going back to it. This is a different situation. This is a situation where this is a pre-runner to the World Cup. It's like the Olympics. Every 4 years it comes around. So we can't take too much notice of the championship, either on form, either on players, or what coaches are showing, what they're holding back. What we've got to look to is what's the bigger picture here. And the bigger picture for Ireland, Joe Schmidt, is, you know, these players, I'm having to dip in the bottom of the barrel, like I might have to do in the World Cup with injuries. Who's up to it and who's not?
Yeah. Well, the bigger picture is we have the team. Joe Thanks, has Joe. Sent it in.
Thanks,
Hot
Joe.
Off the presses here, yep. right? So
hold on, Joe's on the phone.
The big news is Rob Kearney does come in for Ooh, his 88 surprise, cap surprise. At fullback. Chris Farrell will play in the centre with Bundiaki, a big barreling centre partnership that is, isn't it?
They're going to do what England did. What England did to Ireland, Ireland are going to do to Scotland.
Absolutely, yeah. Quinn Roo comes in, as expected. And you called the back row, which is Sean O'Brien comes back into seven. Bit unlucky for Josh Randolph, and Jack Conan will play.
But again, they're doing an England job on it.
Yeah.
Because I tell you now, as long as I've been alive, Scotland can only play it one way.
Yeah.
And Scotland have always, I've played Scotland a couple of times over the years, Scotland always play it one way. They're a smaller mobile pack because of the domestic game dictates that they don't have as many big players to select from. Gray's a big lump in the second row. They'll be weak enough in the front row because they're down to, I think, the fourth or fifth choice front row. Mm-hmm. Back row, not bad, but, I mean, they lack Hamish Watson's ability to their continuity game. So they play a hit-and-raid game. The only players you've got to watch out for them, really, are their playmakers, are Finn Russell at 10, who's a good line breaker, good gain line runner. Mm-hmm. Defensively, he's... He's weak,
a bit
he's soft.
Iffy, yeah.
And Hogg, you don't kick the Hogg. Hogg's the only player that would make a World 15, you know, as of rights from that Scottish team.
Yeah, and Seymour is a finisher as well.
Maitland and Seymour, good, but no threat. I think that if Ireland play the way that kind of England play, and they're up for it, and they will be, then they can do some real damage in Edinburgh. There's a slight revival in Scottish rugby, but I don't see it as being good enough to beat an Irish side, despite missing Ringrose. I think O'Brien brings physicality back. He looked impressive when he came on against England, making the yards. I think Jack Conan has a big opportunity now to take this by the scruff of the match and have a blinder. I think Quinn Roo, again, big, bulky, big South African player, brings a bit of that kind of, I suppose, that up the jumper, pick and go type of game plan. So it's as expected.
The only other changes are that Ulta Dolan comes in again as expected to be the second row on the bench, and that Josh Van der Fleer is the back row on the bench.
It's unfortunate because with Ringrose and James Ryan, Josh was one of the outstanding players last week, but in a defensive role, and that doesn't suit him.
Yeah.
If you're playing a team like the All Blacks or Australia, when you need to move teams around, you get to get some of the loose ball. Fine, Josh is your man. When you're coming down to play pure physicality, then Sean O'Brien is your man.
Yeah, so you're talking about it there. What does this team say to you about a game plan? It's going to be like ball carrying, first receiver, Farrell, Aki, O'Brien.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
James Ryan. They'll head down the 9 and 10 channel. Laidlaw's not a great tackler either. Hugh Jones, not a bad footballer for Scotland, if given space. Scotland will struggle because they won't get possession. There's very few teams in the world that can speed up their own ball and slow the opposition's down. So they won't be able to do that. So as long as Ireland get enough ball, they'll have too much power. They'll simply do it. They'll do it in England. I'd hate for that to be a phrase, but they'll do in England on it.
Yeah. So going back to just briefly then, because Kearney is back, and I'll kind of talk about like whether we can even afford to look past Rob Kearney again.
No, you cannot. You cannot.
Well, Sancho's as bad as everybody says, though. It's almost a reflective thing that we've decided that the whole problem was Robbie Henshaw.
No, absolutely not. And on any given Sunday, he might have had a blinder. Like, if he was playing fullback against Scotland, where he'd get more ball and he's not having to retreat onto ball, then, yes, he could have had a blinder. He could have cemented his position. But the thing about it is when you have a fullback of Rob Kearney's natural ability in doing the basics right, I mean, Rob Kearney, yes, he's lost a yard of pace. Yes, he's a bit older. Yes, he's been around. But he has vast experience. He's hardly ever found out a position. He never misses a tackle. His kicking game is good, and he's fantastic in the air. Mm. What more do you want from a fullback?
Yeah.
Unless you're wanting to go an all-out attacking, counter-attacking game, like you watch and see, if Hogg doesn't get any ball, it's no good Hogg being the best counter-attacking fullback in the world and having no ball or having to retreat ball back. And that's what I said to him about Johnny Sexton will be told by Joe Schmidt, do not put the ball down the 15's space. Make Hogg run to get the ball so he's going back, like Henshaw had to.
Yeah.
They just moved Henshaw around. They knew his threat counter-attacking. They'd seen that in Connacht when he made his name as a fullback, that big, strong, 6'4", you know, 16.5, 17-stone guy coming up through the middle.
Yeah.
But, I mean, just turn him.
Yeah.
It's like teams used to do with John Olomu when they worked him out. Although he did get away with it. But
and our wingers are high as well, which means a fullback's job is impossible. And absolutely. It seems like only Carney can do it.
He's not lame. He's a fantastic player. I'm a great fan. I just think that that having a... It's like having... I was talking to someone during the week. I said having Carney back there is like a football team having a good goalkeeper, knowing that, okay, if somebody breaks through, we don't have to worry. We don't have to cover for him. He does his job well, and he looks after it. So will we see Henshaw back at fullback before the World Cup? I don't think so.
Fair enough. One here from Phil, actually, we were talking a bit about before we came on air. What does Brent think about Blair Kinghorn getting dropped by Scotland the week after scoring a hat-trick versus Italy?
Yes.
It's like Craig Gilroy. Do you remember he got in the second half and never seen again?
I mean, you know, that would be a really good trivia question at one of those sort of, you know, quiz nights. And then, you know, who scored a hat-trick for a team and then got dropped the following week? Because he's been dropped.
Yeah.
It's not as if they're saying, look, I mean, if you're good enough to be on the bench, you're good enough to play.
Exactly,
But, yes, I can't understand that decision. I mean, whether or not they're looking to play a different type of game. But, I mean, I don't see anything in that Scottish team that dictates that they're not going to try to play... They're going to try to run Ireland around. They're going to try to run them around. They're going to try to hit and raid, you know, quick ruck here, quick ruck there, vary things up, you know, get Finn Russell trying to make a couple of breaks. You know, that's what they'll do. I just don't think it'll be successful against a team that'll be pumped up.
Yeah. So, look, when, you know, you're predicting a win, we'll do a score prediction in a few minutes, but... what then does the rest of the Six Nations look like? You actually said last week the last thing we want to do is go and win a Grand Slam and have the target on our back.
Much to the disagreement of all the corporates out there who say, what are you talking about? Don't win a Grand Slam. We're budgeted to go. People come along to me saying, what are you saying that for? We've got tickets to Wales. You know, like,
still a big game. Six Nations still game a huge is all game. On its own.
I think what would be a good result for Joe Schmidt now, it would be staying in the championship for as long as they can as a potential winner of it. What do I mean by that? You know, Ireland could, they're a good enough team to score four tries, you know, again, even though the win might not be a landslide. They aren't good enough to score four tries and get a bonus point away, you know, and maybe get a bonus point against France or something like that. So they could pick up if England drop off the game. And who knows? Wales could turn England over or something like that. You don't know.
France
always get up for England. They always get up for England. They have a big physical pack as well. England get a couple of injuries. That could go that. So if Ireland stay in touch and it comes down to that last game or something like that, you know, on that last day, who knows? But I think finishing second or first in the championship would be a good result. You know, finishing third or fourth wouldn't be a good result. So they've had their one loss, and I think let's leave it at that.
So it's like keep our momentum,
yes,
but don't go overboard where we've peaked too soon.
Absolutely. And I think that actually, in a funny way, for me, it, that is the perfect scenario for Joe going into. I think you've exactly summed it up perfectly. You know, keep the momentum, keep the confidence, keep the fact that they know they've learned from the fact that any one team can beat you on a day if you get a bit overconfident or you don't go in with the same hunger that England did. And I'm always of the belief, and it's something that I always dismissed for years, and it annoyed me, and I was always on RT and always saying that even the late, why don't Ireland have more self-belief in sports and that? I now get that that's not part of your sporting culture. Part of the Irish sporting culture is the fighting Irish. Be the slight underdogs on paper and come out. But it is.
I know.
They prefer it. And whether you like it or not, we don't prefer it.
We're just more comfortable.
More comfortable. Not prefer it. You're right. More comfortable.
That is the
comfort zone. Because you don't strut. Because the Irish, that's what I love about Irish people is that they're humble in their achievements, so they don't like to go out and they like to brag about achievements. It's always sort of, oh yeah, well, you know, we had a good win, but you know, they're a good team as well, which you know, there wasn't so much arrogance with the Irish team. Now they can just say, look, okay, you learn from your lessons and you move on and stuff like that and sneak slightly in under the radar. Only slightly, because they're a great team. A team doesn't become bad overnight.
Yeah.
But so I think you're right. I think that, you know, go into the World Cup with confidence, having done well in the Championship, and we may be second, you know, or possibly first, not a Grand Slam because that's gone, not a Triple Crown, that's fine. And just say, okay, we've got a bit of work to do. You've got a few players coming back, obviously, for the World Cup who will be, you know, who'll come through this, hopefully this passage, you know, Viv Henderson and these guys to come back, and that will be available after the Six Nations for those friendly matches, and, you know, see where it lies then.
Definitely. Look, we've only got a couple of minutes left. We've got loads of comments coming in, but if you have any more questions for Brent, just let us know. Comment on Facebook or on Twitter below, wherever you're watching this.
Or just ask me on the street. Because I'm always in supermarkets and that when I get asked these questions, you know, like, what do you think? The number of times I've had to answer the question, I've been getting a salad or something for dinner and it. Wow, what did you think of that, Brent? You know,
you have to try and a little game for yourself is to try and change.
I should have just a note.
Time.
I should have some sort of T-shirt or a note saying England bullied Ireland or something. Next question.
Here is one from Steve White, though, is what I was going to talk to you about next, which is about the other games of the weekend. Lads, what happened to France against Wales in the second half? They were so good and yet so bad, but it was just France, wasn't it?
I was talking to a Frenchman last night, actually, and he did the same thing. I said, yeah. What happened to you guys? Just French, you know. So it's not really, you know, but I mean, they were so good in the first half. They were so good. And I felt sorry for a couple of their players. I felt sorry for young Intermac and that, who's going to be a good player, you know, at that level. He made a couple of basic mistakes that cost them that intercept pass. I mean, it was so telegraphed. They didn't need to do that. France had got back on top. They had salvaged that game, and then they do something stupid like that. But you don't want to take out. I've seen there's a bit of a revival in French rugby, yeah. I have to say. Their pack was massive. Now, not particularly mobile, but on another day like that, even against England, they that would be some arm wrestle up front. I just think, once again, they don't have a discernible way that they're playing the game. Mm. You know, you can't look at a French team and say, this is where they're really good or this is where they're really bad. They're just kind of meandering along at a level that, you know, yeah. If they're good and physical and they can get in front and they have a couple of game breakers there, they can do all right. But if not, they're pretty easily picked.
Yeah, it's not quite the head case team that it was with Lieberman and all that. Like, it is a little bit more stable now as well, isn't it?
So it's more stable, and again, going to the World Cup, and we're looking at that, again, they are a dangerous one-off team.
Yeah.
As the All Blacks will tell you, other teams will tell you, the French team are one of the best teams in World Cup, most successful teams without winning it. But again, on a one-off, you know, even coming to here on a one-off when they're allowed to play, I just don't think they're trying to marry two different types of game plans together. They're trying to have a big, physical, somewhat sluggish pack with a sort of an exciting, younger back line, and it's just not marrying together. And, you know, I don't think they've got the continuity players. Like Pickamoles, big, strong, had a good game. But it doesn't really complement a back row that allows their backs to play. You know, they probably need an out now. They need another Jean-Pierre Reeves or a Cabanes type of player that is that automatic link between backs and forwards, and they don't have them.
Yeah. Question here is asking, what's wrong with Conor Murray? I've never seen him in such bad form.
Oh.
Like, he had a bad game. He was bad against Exeter as well. He hasn't been the same player since but he was out for a long time.
He was out for a long time, and I suppose there's a slight confidence issue with his game at the moment. When you've a career defining possibility of an injury, you're probably taking things. See, everybody wants to get on the plane to Japan.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be a part of something. To miss out on that trip. And I'm not saying that should play on their mind, but it does play on their mind. You can't take, you know, I'm working now as a somewhat of a rugby psychologist in a way. And even talk to schoolboy rugby, but you can't take those things out of players, even though you tell them everything. You can't take those little things out, like, "Oh, I don't want to get in," I don't want to get injured here. So that's probably playing slightly on his mind, because yes, he was off his game, as was Johnny Sexton. But then Johnny Sexton again hasn't played for what, 3 or 4 weeks?
Too long.
Yeah. So yes, that's an excuse. Let's see how they do this week and judge it. If we're having the same conversation next week, well, then we're starting to look at and saying, you know, Conor Murray's Partey's just about irreplaceable, you'd have to say. But, you know, we still have to look at the form of other players, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And last question here is from Conor Connolly. Mick, can you compliment Brent on his fine coat? Chapeau. I will compliment it, and as have you, Conor. And look, sure.
Well, I'm in the fashion. I'm a fashion icon. Pope shirts and shoes available in nation stores. But I like the clothes, you know.
Yeah.
When you've got a head like mine, you have to dress up.
You're a winter dresser. You like the kind of I love
the coats and for some reason. But I'm on the Harley, so you know I've got to.
I've got to
look the part. You know, I'm getting older, so you know. Well, Valentine's Day coming up as well. You know, another loser day for me.
Well, look, Valentine's Day or not, Brent will be with us. I think on the we're going to let.
Oh, Valentine's Day slip. Going out on your dates with your partners and everything and that. The place will be empty. It'll be just me sitting here by myself with a lonely box of chocolates.
Yeah, yeah. So Brent won't be with us next week. He'll be with his lonely box of chocolates. We'll be back before the Italy game.
Prediction
though.
The scores quickly.
Oh, the score what prediction, of course. With? Yeah. Right. Well, the amateur versus the pro. Yeah. I'm going to say that Ireland will win it. I've got bad memories of Murrayfield. That was from 2 years ago. But I will say that Ireland will get some points on the board this week and win 28-17.
Oh, that wasn't far wrong. I'm going to say a similar scoreline. I think actually, without being too cheeky, and fingers crossed, and not trying to demean anybody from Scotland, I think Ireland may actually get a bonus point win. The game might be reasonably tight score wise, but I think they'll get the four tries. So I'm going 25. I'm going 25-13.
25-13. Okay, we're not too far off each other there. So you have a slightly bigger win. So
let us down, guys. Joe, don't let us down.
We'll keep an eye on that, and we'll let you know our progress throughout the Six Nations. We'll be back again with Brent with another Six Nations takeaway in association with Carry Out Off License before the Italy game. And hopefully Ireland will have a winner.
Can we get pizza in for that game?
We can get pizza. Exactly. We can get some carry out.
Just give me Italian.
Maybe we'll have a couple of drinks and a bit of pizza and watch preview the Italy game. And hopefully Joe will have the team in by the time we start next.
Well,
time.
I've told him he's been watching this. He knows next time, Joe, when we tell you we're going out live, we need the team in. You know,
we'll be back in a couple of weeks. Enjoy the Scotland game and all the Six Nations action this weekend.